This recording begins with the current version of the shir, continues on with a quick review of the shir, and then moves on to the last cycle of the Daf Yomi for the previous version of the shir, which of course has different people involved, a different ambience. You may want to hear both of them and use the second one as a chazar. You may actually prefer the previous cycle to this one. Today's Daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah. We're holding on Daf Samachay, and we got up to about four lines down from the middle of the Daf. Zicharon Asotimo Melacha Acheret. So here we're talking about the Mishnah, which initially says that any profit that you make or pay that you've been given for working in Yayin Lesef is Aser, but if you were hired to do one job, and then the guy adds on this sort of an afterthought to work in the Yayin Lesef, and he says, take along this barrel for me a little bit. So then it would be mutar. Now, the implications are that it's mutar despite the fact that it actually fills some of the time of your day or fills your contract. Now, why then wouldn't it be mixed shar of yayin nesach and other things? I mean, it's apparently over here, afagav delo amar leili tuteir, Mishnah doesn't demand that as an additional condition for this to be mutter, would have to be an afterthought that was said at night as you're about to go home. In other words, you already completed what it is that you were hired to do, so that you're not being paid, or your pay is not dependent on your doing this. And yet the Braita makes it very clear, V'ramini asocherta po'el, uli tute erev amar lo haver lechavicha yayin esri makam lomakam. If you were hired, and then as you finish, you already punched your card, and then the guy says, hey, help me out with this, so then scharo mutar. Taima diyomar leili tute erev. The Braita seems to make it very clear that the only reason it's mutter is because it came at the end of the day when there was no longer anything that you owed the guy. But the kuliyoma, if it would be in the middle of the day, then not. Well, I guess we'll have to understand that the Mishnah took for granted that you would understand that. In other words, of course, the Mishnah also means the Yomar Li Tuteir. And the Braita is just speaking it out in more detail. Rav Amar, no kasha. There's not really a problem. Ha di Yomar Li Haver Li Mea Chaviyot B'Mea Prutot. And Ha di Yomar Li Haver Li Chavit Chavit B'Prutot. Says Rav, no, actually it's more subtle than that. It depends on the case. In a case, obviously if the Mishnah doesn't insist it has to be Litute Erev, then there have to be cases in which it would be mutter even without Litute Erev. And then there's a different case, which is mutter only if it is Litute Erev. Now I would suggest that the difference is that if you're hired as a contractor to do, let's say, 100 barrels, and I'll pay you $100, then if one of those barrels ends up in Yayin Esek, the problem over there would be is that your job was defined by Yayin Esek. So all of the barrels are then dependent on this additional barrel, because until you finish the job as a contractor, you're not going to get any of it. If you're being hired by barrel, fine. So then there's no relationship between your other sechar and this one. Then it would be better even in the middle of the day. Obviously, you can't take the sechar for that particular barrel. Either, you know, take it or up front, or if the guy gives it to you, you have to get rid of that. But there's no problem of mixed sakar for Yayin Nesach with the other barrels. And that's the difference. Even in a case where you did say that it's talking about that it's dependent on one another, it would still be mutterli tute erev. Why? Because by Motz Chiddush in that, obviously, if I'm already being paid, then if it's Litute Erev, what's enough Kamina? I just can't take the schar for moving the Yayin Esek. Says Tosfos, the Chiddush is, that you might have thought that when you add on something at the end of the day, it's by definition an extension of the understanding. So as even though I was handled to do 100 chaviyot as a contractor for 100, so if the guy says, okay, let's add this one, then let's add this one would mean with the same understanding. When you finish the job to 101, then I give you 101. But that would make everything dependent on that. Kamash Balan, that for all intents and purposes, this is the beginning of the next day's work. It's not part of the contract that was previously defined. V'atanya, and indeed, it's clear that Rava's distinction is true from the Braita. Ha-socheret ha-po'el, v'amarli, amarlo, ha-averli mea chaviyot b'mea prutot. So then he's a contractor, basically. You're going to have to complete 100 chaviyot, and I'll pay you $100, despite the fact that there happens to be a matchup of dollar per chavit. Doesn't change anything. He could have said $1.18 plus 36 cents. It makes absolutely no difference. Because the way in which it was phrased, we're saying it in this way to make it clear to you, that even though it seems to be a matchup of a buck per chavis, that that's irrelevant, since it was stated as a contractor. You do the job of 100 chaviyot, and I pay you a dollar per chavit. So it's still a contractor. So if there, nimtzet chavit sheyayin esek b'neim schero asur, because the job is defined by a chavis of yayin esek. But if he's hired by the chavit b'pruta, nimtzet chavit sheyayin esek b'neim, then schero mutar, and that's exactly what Rava was saying. Of course, in the case of the opening case where it says Chora Asur, that the other Braita clarified that if it was Litutei Erev and you already completed the original contractual obligation of the 100 barrels, so then even though he adds it, this is the 101st, we don't view the other 100 as being dependent on this. Now, the next case in the Mishnah seems to be simply repetitious. The first case was that you hire a guy to work in the barrels. Then you bring in the case that somebody rents a car from you. Now he's carrying Yayin Nesa, so that it's mutter for him to put Yayin Nesa. Is that the same thing? I mean, you're telling me that the Iker thing was the car, and now this is additional, and therefore it's not all dependent. That's what you said. So Hatu Lamali, why do I need this extra case? I know Rasha. It's exactly what the Rasha was saying. It's a difference whether it's in terms of a car rental or it's in terms of the payment to a socher. Socher and sachar and sachir and haskara. I mean, it's all the same concept. No, it's not the same concept at all. Because, look, you might well have thought in the Seifa that over there, since when the person rents the car, in this case rents the chamor, that it's defined as I'm renting the chamor, and included in the price is the right for me to put down my canteen of the Yayin Nesek, in which case we are figuring the canteen into the price. So I would say, so then that's the same case as the Mea Chaviyot B'Mea dinner, right? Chavit Chavit B'dinner as a contractual thing. Kamash Malan, that's not true, which seems to imply, of course, that you do not have the right when you rent a car to put a barrel of Yayin Nesek in it, and that is ridiculous. Of course you do. Who's going to tell you what to put in the car that you rent? So that's the Gemara is going to ask. So Seifi Tzrichale, namely, Sachra Le Sheva Leha, Afal Pish, Iniach Avit Kochavim Legino Aleha Sacharo Mutar. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Says, you're trying to tell me, Lamemra, De Lagin, that the right to put a barrel into the car is lav dina lutuve? He doesn't have the right as part of the rental agreement to take along his yayin nesef. I can prove to you that is simply not the case. From him, hasocheret hachamor, somebody who's renting a donkey has a right by definition included in the price, is that the socher is allowed to be meniach aleha kisuto, he's allowed to put a suitcase of clothing on it, uleginato, which then included leginav yayin nesek, umizonotav shaloto aderech, plus any food that he's going to need for the entire trip. Anything beyond that, mikan ve'elech chamar me'akev alav, anything beyond that, the driver, or the owner of the chamar, can prevent him from taking. The chamar, who's also coming along as part of the deal, he has the right to keep the fuel in the truck, so he can bring se'orim v'tevin, and he can bring his own need of food, but only for one day. Someone's going to ask, but it's supposed to starve. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We'll see. The leader, he leads the donkey. Mizonotav shalato ayom. These are basically caravan guys, you know, so they take along these, and they take responsibility. Yeah. And he can bring along enough mizonot for that day. But beyond that, the renter says to him, look, you're not leaving, you're taking up room on the truck. I mean, this is, why should you take more than what you need for the day? Shugamar is going to say, I mean, then why does he have a right to take more? In any event, it does say over here that you do have a right to bring along your log. So now the Mishnah doesn't even make sense, because it means that the rental agreement included payment for Yayin Nesach rights. Om Rabbi, come on. Why would it imply this? You're jumping to such a conclusion. Let's say that you have a right to put on your canteen of Yayin Nesach. If you didn't put on your canteen of Yayin Nesach, you think you're going to get a cheaper rate? You're going to tell the guy, well, you know, I didn't really use all my rights to the car. The trunk was empty the whole time, so I got a special right on the rental. That's ridiculous. The fact is, you're going to pay the same thing, yes or no. So therefore, the schar does not include the fact that you put a log in of Yayin Nesach on it. It's irrelevant to the guy who's taking the money. So the heed the log in, Dina Hulutuf, of course he has a right to put it there. Mia ilo motivai. What do you think? That if he doesn't put it there, mi amrina le nechile agrade le ginato, you think you can deduct the value of what was supposed to be in the trunk? You pay for the car. Whatever you put in, you put in. You don't put in, you don't. It's your business. But it no longer has anything to do with the renter, and therefore the Jew doesn't have to worry about it. By the way, I don't get it. Well, how does it make sense for the renter to be able to bring along as much food as he needs for the whole way, but the driver only is allowed to bring enough food for the day? I mean, hechidami, what's the case? If Lamaisa, there are supermarkets at the stop where you're going to stop. So then, why can't the chamar say, "Look, there's no need to overburden my chamor with your food," and so he should also be ma'ake. Vidaloshkiach lemizban, and if there's no supermarket, so then how is the renter allowed to tell the driver, "It's okay, you could starve"? I mean, so the sochanami lo la'ake. Omrif Papa, no. Obviously, there are truck stops. So, in other words, at each stop, you have a truck stop. So, the guy who's renting can tell the driver, listen, when you go, you're anyway going to go in to refuel. So, at the truck stop, you buy food. I'm not interested in going to no truck stop. You take care of it for yourself. I want to bring along. I'm going to have the luxury of bringing along my own food and not having to worry about no truck stops. So it's talking about over here, the Shekh Lemitrach, Lemizba, Me'avna, La'avna. I mean, yes, every hop has a truck stop at the end. But this is very interesting, Barnea. I mean, if you remember the old tour book, there was an old tour book from what year was it? Not that long ago. It was the 20th century. It was 19 something. Could even have been in 1920s. It was amazing. It was a book for tourists, you know, the equivalent of One Planet. In the early 20th century, and it's describing how to get from Yerushalayim to Tveria. And it's absolutely astonishing. So
Luntz,
right? Yes. It's Rehov Luntz over here, is where the bookstore is. So you can still buy it. So it says over there that there are caravans that leave three times a week from Yerushalayim to Tveria, but there are no stops along the way to buy any food. Make sure that you have food and water with you for the three-day trip.
Yeah, 1891.
Oh, is that long ago?
Yeah.
Okay, Barnea remembers that was 1891. All right. So, but also not that long.
It was still in use for many years later.
Yeah.
Who makes up all these
amazing
laws?
What's that?
Who makes up all these laws?
The common usage. What's assumed to be included in a business deal. It's obvious this is what people's intent are. Avua de Ravacha Bereder Avika. Now, Avua of Ravacha Bar Ika had a wine store. And what he would do is have a shofek lechamer levitka coffee. The goyim would bring in their plastic bottles to be filled with wine. These were actually the leather bags, the zikim. And he would pour it into these thing out of his barrel. And then, not only that, but he would also provide transportation. so that if they bought a certain amount of wine, he would arrange for taking them all across to the other side of the river in a ferry boat. So Azum Abla Miabla. And then he was paid for this in the empty bottle. So he would get the return, he would get the deposit. So they, Ayavale Gufi Ba'agra, they would give him back the empty bottles in his sahar. Not the zike, the gulfe, the original barrels. So somebody went to Abaya, of course, somebody who was firmer than thou, went to Abaya to squeal on this guy. What is he doing over here? He's making money from Yayin Esek. Something should be done about this. So Abaya said to them, cut it out, man. Ki katarach b'ter katarach. The point over here is that the wine, as he's pouring it into the zikin, is kosher. It only becomes non-kosher wine when it sits in the zikin. Then it may absorb something from the skin in which it's sitting. But as long as it's in the airspace, when he's pouring it in, it doesn't become asur. Okay, Tosfos, of course, the Rabbi Tom Paskins, that nitzuk eino chibur, we had that question whether the pouring itself is a problem. So it's no, according to him, it's not a problem at all. Rashi's worried about what about the nitzuk. Okay, so he talks about that it was only in the airspace. But again, that's a side point, depending on how we deal with that. But at the time that he is pouring the wine, there's no Yayin Nesel. So he's not being paid for Yayin Nesel. He's being paid for kosher wine. So they said to him, so what? But he certainly wants now this wine, after it becomes usher, in the zikin, in the plastic jars. So he now wants to make certain that those leather sacks don't tear. Because if they tear, where do you think they're going to put the wine? Ha! Back in his supposedly empty barrel, then he doesn't get the deposit. So he's not going to get paid. So he's a rotzi b'kiyumo. We said, yes, they rotzi b'kiyumo, unless it's for the purpose of destroying the Ayanes, is awesome. So anyway, boils down to being paid for the Ayanes. It should be awesome. So rotzi b'kiyumo, delo nitztar ziki. He doesn't want the leather bags to tear. No, because it's talking about the matni b'adayah. Look, he tells them that I don't care what the deal is. It's your problem. Even if the bags tear, I get my empty bottles back, my empty barrels back. Or, inami, the maitu prizdaki bihadayu, or it's talking about over there that they take along empty tanks with them, in which if there's an accident of the zikim, they can still save their wine by pouring it into the prizdaki. But wait a minute. Hold on a second. That still doesn't help. Kind of the frumis. Because after all, I mean, he's providing the transportation. And when he's providing the transportation, he's being tereach in the Ayanessa. So how is he allowed to be tereach in the Ayanessa? Now, there's two issues over here. One is the question of, are you allowed to be Toreach in Isser, you're allowed to do things with the Yayin Nesek. The other is, are you being paid for it? Now, obviously, we could say that he's going to get the same price whether he provides transportation or not, but still, we'd be worried about the Tiracha that's involved. He's actually working with the barrels of the Yayin Nesek. So, Vaka Ma'abra Le Ma'abra Le Katorach B'Yisura? No, that's not a problem. The Omar Le Lamavriyami Kora. Now, Rashi learns, in order to avoid the problems of, bottom line is he's arranged it and therefore it's included in the business arrangement, or he's providing for it. Rashi learns that Rav Ika himself was in a position of being the taxi dispatcher of the boats. So therefore everybody was interested in doing what things that he needed. He was in charge of the ferries, so he would tell the people well in advance that if anybody comes along from my store, just give them a free ride. Or he goes and he gives them, says the Gemara, I'm going to Kite Bekitra. He gives them tickets. So he has a bunch of tickets from the boats, and he gives these guys tickets to go over, but there's no payment for this. So the whole thing is Bechina, plus it's the fact that it's not included over here in this personal tircha. Not to mention, the way Rashi understands it, not to mention that this is arranged far in advance as a standing arrangement. So it's nothing that specifically relates to the Ayin Nesek. It's anybody that comes to my store. Doesn't have to be this case. It's part of the, just as a courtesy. Others say it was a courtesy, it was a Talmud Chacham, they were Mechabedim. But whatever the point is, as a courtesy, it boils down to the equivalent of the case in the Mishnah, of the Lagim. And, so you're not being paid for it, and you're not being Tareach in it. So included in that is the fact that it's not an actual quid pro quo. Because it's arranged in advance. I don't know if it's going to come today, I mean, a Goy, a Jew, whatever, but anybody that comes. Since it's not a quid pro quo for the Yayin Nesek per se, and there's no schar involved, and there's no tircha involved, Lamaisi, he wasn't doing anything that was problematic at any stage over here. The moment that he poured the wine, Bedideka Tarach, it's his own wine, it's kosher wine, there's no problem. The empty barrels that he gets back, obviously are kosher barrels, are his barrels, nobody put in any Yayin Nesek. Rotsa Bikiyomo, he makes it tonight and he gets the empty barrels anyway, or they have a spare tank in case there's an accident with the Ziki. So therefore, what's the problem?
What was the rights of the Kiyum? He couldn't care less about the wine.
No, because if it tears, if it's Zike, the Zike erodes of the Kiyum.
Oh, and that's also.
That is also, since he's erodes of the Kiyum, ultimately of the INS. Our dear President.
Dr. Haile Commissioner.
Yayinesa, Nesek, Shinafal al-Gabe Anavi. Now we're finally getting to the question of Bitol Tam. Basin Tam Livgam, Min Ben Minai, all of the issues that we sort of just rapidly got a hint of earlier, we've arrived at that stage. So now the Mishnah begins with a simple case where wine that was Yayin Nesek falls over grapes. Now these grapes are still attached to the vine or still attached to the cluster. In other words, there's no hole in the grape. They haven't been pulled off of the stem. And therefore, there's no absorption of cold wine. So then, yadicha, just wash them off. And then you wash off the wine. Ve'in mutarot. Ve'im hayu mevuka'ot. However, if there's a hole in the grape, which would include even if you pulled it off of the stem, so then they would be awesome. If this wine fell on te'inim, so it fell now on figs, or on timarim, or on dates, so then, if there's no tein ta'am in the date or in the fig, it's aser. And the Mishnah promptly goes to contradict itself, as the Gemara will point out. Umaaseh bebaitas ben zunan. There was a famous case where baitas ben zunan used to transport a great number of dried figs in a boat. So he had filled up the hold of this boat with grogrot. And what do you think? A barrel of Yayin Nesek on the boat from some other passenger breaks and wets everything in the hold so that all of his grogrot now are soaked in this wine. And he went and he asked the Shaila and they were not tirit, which of course is the opposite of what we just said before. The klal is kol shibahan na'ato benotein tam asur. Where there is value, meaning there is additional taste, additional benefit from that noten tam, then it's also. But if the additional taste is a pagam, doesn't add, it subtracts, and we'll see subtract exactly what that means, then even if there is the tam, it's mutar. For instance, let's say you're transporting peas, split peas, grisim. And now vinegar of Yayin Nesek spills all over these peas. They ain't going to taste better for the vinegar, I guarantee it. So there it doesn't matter if it has a taste because it's not ten times of gum. And therefore, it would be mutter b'klal. Ask the Gemara, the Maisa, this is crazy. First you make a statement that it's usher, and then you bring a Maisa of Baitus Ben Zunun to prove that it's mutter. Who does such things? Maaseh story. You bring an event that contradicts your thesis. Well, obviously that implies that the Mishnah is Chisurei Mechaser. We're missing a piece over here. V'achi katani. What it really should say is, Im notein tam livgamu mutar. But if that taste, even were it given, was a pagam, then it's okay. And indeed, there was a situation like that. Masenami. It was actually a case of Betus ben Zunan. And because they were not improved by the taste of the wine, they were matir them. And so we're coming to bring a raya to something which is left out of the Mishnah. And of course, this is a great opportunity to leave something out of the Mishnah. Because the moment that you read those words, you are immediately struck with, what? Something's missing. And wherever we're able to make something missing, we always do, in order to maintain the Torah Shebal Peh element of the Mishnah. So if the information is there, you just need to insert it yourself. And it's obvious that somebody wouldn't bring a proof against himself. So then that must be what's happening. Now, there was another situation where there was a pile of wheat. Ahu kari kri dechit. Where a barrel of yain esek falls all over this wheat, and shar yeravel is a vanilla of dekochavim. Rava said, sell it to goyim. So, first of all, the issue that we need to talk about is, are you allowed to sell iser to a goy where there's no way to identify that what you're selling is usser, and it could easily be just sold back to a Jew? I mean, if there was some indication that this wheat is prohibited to a Jew, that would be one thing. But, I mean, doesn't it say, Eitvei Rabba Bar Livoi L'Rava, doesn't it say that in a beged, where somebody was making a beged and he could not identify, he knows that there was some mixed thread in there that made it into Kalai, and the shot in his lab wasn't able to find it. They're not going to take every bit of material now and check it over. And it's definitely has kelayim, shavad bo kelayim, areza loyim kareno lo vekochavim. You cannot sell it to a goy, because he'll just go back and sell it to a Jew. Lo yaseno mardat lechamor. You can't even make it now a blanket over a chamor, because it may end up being sold to a Jew using it on his chamor and sitting on it. You're not allowed to use kelayim even to sit on. But what you could do is you can make a tachrichin for a mate. Then already becomes aser b'hanaah. So it's always a good use for kilayim. Also, to tachrichin l'mate mitzvah. Now, why can't you sell it to a goy? Obviously, why? Lo v'kochavim, my time alone. Dilma atil zvun in Israel? Because there's nothing in it that identifies it as something that's aser. If the shatnez lab isn't going to be able to identify it as shatnez. So here too, achinam atil zvun in Israel. How is the guy going to know that these chitim or usher because of Yain Esek? So Rava actually had charat. All right, you're right. There has to be a way to prevent a Jew from buying it. How do you prevent a Jew from buying it? Ah, I have an idea. Bake it. Then sell it to a goy. Now it looks like pat akum of a balabayit. Pat akum of a balabayit. A personal pat akum nobody's going to buy. I mean, it doesn't look like bakery bread. So therefore, Hadashar lemitchino, grind it, lemitchino, and then go ahead and bake it, and then sell it to a goy, not in a place where a Jew could see you. If a Jew could see you, it's, so that basically was kosher bread from, that's the Rebbetzin's challah, you know. Now make sure that he doesn't see you. And then he's not going to buy it. So therefore there's no problem. Why then was it mutter to sell? What about the hano of the taste of Ritva? Richard.
What happened?
I don't know. Nothing at all. Those eyes were just wide open, staring with deep intensity into the Gemara.
Now there's more light. You can see into the Gemara.
So the Ritva brings that some want a taina that they never assered the taharovet of stam yeinam b'hana'a. They only assered it b'achila, and therefore to sell it would be mutter, which the Ritva says that is the craziest thing I ever heard. Because the din of taharovet is always, by definition, if there's enough there that it's still around, it has the din of the thing that fell in. Whoever heard of a case where it's osur b'taharovet, but we make it a lesser isur? Okay, this is Ritva Shita. But in any event, he gives this obvious explanation to our Gemara. People don't pay more for chitim that have taste of wine mixed in them. If anything, this is weird. So he's not going to get more money for these chitims. He's not getting money for the yayinez. He's only getting money for the chitim. Would be the equivalent of the seal chutz midbar yayinez shabo. This is chutz midbar yayinez shabo, because that's not what he's being paid for.
What would be the problem of selling it to you if it's nice and tam of gam?
That's also from to eat. There wouldn't be a problem if that person would also just be in the market for selling it to a goy.
Other than,
it's not nice in tam of gam. It's just that people are not paying you more for that taste. They're paying you the price of chitim. You're offering them chitim. Okay, they're ready to take these chitim too, but they're not going to pay you more.
But if you sell more easily, if we manage to sell more easily, even not for
okay,
the...
Okay, let's see if we can bring a ride to that as we go. Whether sellability is considered to be a value add. Okay, so then the Gemara asks, but what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that there shouldn't be a problem at all, because it says, Yayinez, Shinafal Gabe Anavi. Yedichein Vein Mutarot? Only if they're Mevukaot are there Asurot. That means Mevukaot in. Shein Mevukaot Lo, and over here, I mean, this is not ground Chita. This is natural Chita. So why would natural Chita absorb the yayin? Rav Papa, because every chita is by definition a muvuka. Did you ever take a look at a chita? It's got a slit right down the middle. That slit is open, is the equivalent of muvuka. So shiny chite, the agav tzirayu, since because of that slit that's down the chita, it has a dinam muvukaot and it absorbs in that area. And therefore, there is a problem. Now the question is, okay, given there's a problem, what do I do? Says Rava, okay, what you do is you can still sell it, you just have to make sure it's not available for resale. That's all. So how do you do that? You bake it, and then it looks like patakum shel balabayit. Sicharola sot imo b'yayinesech, and then he asks him from Allah melacha acharet, and he asks him to add it, it's mutter. Veramini in the bright, that says only if he did this after he punched his card. Only then is the charon mutar. The time in the amalei the tutei erev in kuli yimalo. Om Rabbi, well, I guess kitran hami matnitin the amalei tutei erev tonight. Rav Amar, no, lokasha, it's two different cases. On the amalei, averli meach aviyot b'meach prutot as a contractor. And there, it would have to be litutei erev. In which case there's no dependency on that additional barrel. And indeed, Vatanya, Zocherata Poel, Vamarlo Haverli Mechaviot Bemea Prutot Vinimtsukovich Yainez Bineyan, it's all us because it's all dependent on that barrel. But if he said them Chavit Chavit Bepruta, Vinimtsukovich Yainez Bineyan, then Sakharomutar, Azocherata Hamor Laviala Yainez Sakharos, that's the same thing, no? Of course, I mean, being Isaac and Yainas, what's if it's you, your Chamor, it's all the same, Hainaratia. But the closing, don't you see? That's a Kiddush. Save it strictly. There is a Chirale Sheva Lea. Alpha Bishinia Gavit Kavim Legino, Alas Chiral Mutar. Which implies, at least on the surface, you don't have a right to put your canteen of Yainas on the guy's Chamor, but that's crazy. Lamema, the Login Lav Dina Lotuve. The chamar can be meniach aleha sorim v'teven, which of course is the gasoline tank. Umizonotav shalotu ayom, but mikan ve'elach the socher is ma'akev alav. Rabbi, so what if you're allowed to? But even if that's the case, then yidalagin dinu l'tuve. Mia, let me ask you something. Yilom motiv le. Can he ask for a discount? Obviously not. But by the way, what's the case over here? So why can't he go and pick up something at the 7-Eleven at the stop? So how can the socher tell him he's not allowed to bring food? So socher nami lola akev. Omer Papa, lo tzrich reshiach l'mitrach unamizva miuna l'una. So the chamar, it's his derech is to go to a truck stop and refuel and all business of it. It's a dak l'mitrach l'mizva. The socher lav dak l'mitrach l'mizva. Avu ad revach b'rei revika. Havi shafich l'hu chamar le'ovdek of havin. V'ozel, then he even took care of the mi'abra le'ma'abra. And in exchange, they gave him the empty barrel. Yavale Gufi Beagra. So Otto and really not by Amalai so. He's not doing anything wrong. Ki Katar Batera Katar. What about Rotzabekiumo, the Lonit Staro Zike? It's talking about the Matni Badayo. Inam the Mighty Priestiki Badayo. Vokama Abelo Maabra, would which case is being tarak besur even if it wouldn't be paid. No, the Omale Lamavruye mi kara, or he gives them tickets for passage. Yain Nesek, Shrafala Gabi Anavim, Yedichain Vein Mutarobad, Hima Yume Vukaot, Asurot, Nafala Gabi Tein Nimo, Agabi Timarim, Yesh Beminot in Tamasuru, Maaseb, Beitus Benzuna, Shavi Grogrot, Besvina, Vishtabra Gavich, Yain Nesek, Nafala Gabi, Vishalach Agabi Vitirum, Zeaklau Koshe Bahana, Tobinot in Tamasur, Koshe Bahana, Tobinot in Tamutar, Kagon, Homet, Shrafala Gabi Gris, which nobody would like. Wait a minute, Maaseli store. Well, obviously, Chesurim Mechas, Vachigatani. Im Noten Tam Livgam, Umutaru Maase Nami, where was Noten Livgam Livgam? Of Abaitos Ben Zunan. Shayem Evi Grogrot, Bisfina, Venishtab Rachavich, Yay Nesach, Menofala Gabihen, Uba Maase of Nechachamim Vitirun. Ahu Kritachitin, Nafala Chavita, the Yay Nesach, Shaya Ravla, Zvinilevik, Rachavi. Eitve Rabba Barlevoy, La Rava. What about the similarity in the case of a beged shav arbo kelaim resulam karen lovi kachavim v'lo yasen amar dat lechamor avalo seoto tachrichin lemeit mitzvah. Now why do you think lovi kachavim my time alo? Obviously the amati lezvun eli Yisrael. So how can you sell something that's not identifiably also to a goy if he's going to be atu lezvun eli Yisrael? And Rava essentially took it back, the psak. And instead, it was Hadar Shar Lamitchino Velamifino Lesvenino Levit Kachavim Shalob Ifnei Yisrael, which for all intents and purposes will prevent the Jew from buying it. Tanan, Yain Nesach Shonafal Agabi Anavim Yedichein Vein Mutarot Vima Yu Mevukaot Asarot. So why are the Chitim Asar? Only Mevukaot are Asar. Vishain Mevukaot Lo Amr of Papa, because Chitim are Mevukaot. Shani Chitim Ova Agav Tzirayu Ke Mevukaot Amyon. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
Okay, Shavua Tov, we're up to daf Samach Dalet on the base. Last line. So the Gemara just finished a three-way machlokas as to what defines Ger Toshav. Now, at this point, it's not clear what exactly that definition was nogea. It seems that it would be nogea all elements of a ger toshav. And because of that, we ask from the following maisa. Rav Yehuda shadar le kurbana la avidrana. Rav Yehuda sent a gift to this gentleman who was a choshev agoy to avidrana on a holiday. It was a goyish holiday, the Yom Eidan, which l'chor is prohibited. And he said, "There's no problem in this case because Amar Yadana Bay to Lo Polach Lavaris Kachavim. I happen to know for a fact that he doesn't worship Avodah Zorah, and therefore I don't have to worry about it so much." Amalei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked from our sukkah. We just had this whole complicated machlokes. Vatanya Ezu Ger Toshav Koshi Kibel Alav Bifnei Shlosha Chavirim Shlo Lavod Avodat Kochavim. And you're coming on, you're saying, well, in my mind, I'm convinced that he's okay. I mean, what do you mean I'm convinced? We have a whole question as to what defines somebody that you have a right to make those assumptions about and proceed on that basis. And says the Gemara, Kitanya Hila Hachayoto. That's only Binogeya being Mechayehim. Because remember, one of the dinim of the Ger Toshav, as a matter of fact, it's central to the concept of the Ger Toshav, is that the V'cheim is also chal on him. You're supposed to take care of him. And that's why you're giving him a right to live in Eretz Yisrael. So to take care of him obviously has higher standards than stam the assumption he's not Ovik Yechavim, which would allow you to do what's good for you in terms of giving him, you know, not worrying about Haskaras Ovik Yechavim, Darko, and so on. That's no problem. That's right. Yeah, there's real deer and there's a toshav, right.
Rashi said, no other tzavos and can't even mail.
Yeah, that's the sugya that we had. We just had that. He's mekabel mitzvahs, but he's erech from the veilas. That was the sheep. He can eat the veilas. He can eat the ochel the veilas.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, this has nothing to do with that sugya, because that sugya has higher criteria. Ask the Gemara, but I mean, seemingly against all of these criteria, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ger Toshav Shavu Alav Shnei Atzal Chodesh Vol Mal, Ahel Kamin Nishav Aldei Kochavim. I mean, it seems to be saying that if after accepting a person as a Ger Toshav, he doesn't go ahead and get himself a Brit Milah and go all the way, then he's looked at as basically having gone back, and he's even like a... The words in Minshabal Dekochavim, and it's a very interesting insight that the Gemara is making, because Lameisa, this is a famous medrash about the relationship of Ruth and Orpah. In other words, it's one thing not to be on the way, but once you're on the way and you turn your back, then you go all the way to the opposite extreme. So this guy was a Ger Toshav. Now he doesn't go take that any further, and he's looked at as the worst of all Dekochavim, not Stam. I mean, it's all of these guys that you're convinced. I mean, what about this further criteria? No, come on. That's a special case where the person was the Tahalich Giyur. So the first stage was the Kabbalah Shem Mizpah. He's going to become a Ger. He's going to get Mila and everything. Then all of a sudden he changes his mind. Something's very funny over here. So, okay, so that means that now, exactly like Orpah, she's on her way, and now she realizes, what do I need this for? So when somebody comes to that conclusion, they go to the opposite extreme. Yeah, exactly. Or cults, escapees. Or people who become convinced they're in cults and escape, you know. That type of thing. So you have a relationship with somebody, you know, turn your back on the relationship. You go back to you go to an opposite extreme, become like a mean. Rava amti le kurvana lavar sheshach biyomidam. Now Rava did the same thing, relying that he could give on a holiday, a Goyesha holiday, a gift to Bar Sheshach, who was a rich and powerful guy. And he said, well, I'm going to be saying on the fact that Yadana Bei Lo Polach Lavodat Kochavim, I know for a fact this guy doesn't worship Avodah Zorah, there's no problem of being Goyim, this whole Hoygoah to the Avodah Zorah and so on. So Ojal Ashkei the Yatzei V'atzavarei Bevardas, this guy, he comes into his house in order to deliver the gift, and he finds this guy is real hedonist, and he's sitting there up to his neck in rose petals, and he's surrounded by these naked girls. I mean, it's a you-after kind of scene, you know. And, you know, Rava walks right in over there, and Bar Sheshach says to him, you know, you guys, somebody said, you have something this good in Olam Haba. I mean, what exactly are you looking for, you know? Omar Le, so Rava says to him, what's the big deal? Bidan, Adif Atzvemi, what we have is much better than this. Omar Le says, I understand. Tzvemi, I, what could possibly be better than this? Omar Le says, Atzoni, Kalech, Emata, the Malkuta. You can't really be relaxed. You're constantly worried, the IRS is going to knock on the door, the Vice Squad is going to knock on the door. You never really enjoy yourself completely. Whereas we, in Olam Haba, we don't have this problem. So, Lamaisa, maybe the naked girls are the same, and the roses are the same, and so on, but the attitude is different. So in our Olam Haba, we can have the same Hugh Hefner swimming pool, but the situation will be much better. So he says, come on, I mean, that may be for the normal man in the street, but somebody like me, well, I don't have anything to worry about. I mean, after all, what possible concerns do I have? I'm rich, I'm powerful, and I can do whatever I want without the Vice Squad getting involved, and no problem. Adi Yasi, while they're sitting there around his pool, Atahu priest together, Malka guy shows up from the government, and he's got an IRS thing over there, and he says, you're wanted in the king's court over here. So kum, the kabaylacha Malka. Oh boy, but Bar Sheshach wasn't too happy about that. So he knocked the clothes on his way out, he's putting on his clothes, he says, You know, you Jews are really something. Anybody who's got an eye in horror to look at you guys and wants something bad for you Jews, his eye should pop out. Says Rabbi Amen, and immediately his eye pops out. The poker ain't another bashashak. This guy's eyes immediately pop out. Omer of Papi, the Papi said, you know what? I'm like, why did Rava answer him stunned? He didn't bring him any kind of. He just said, you think your beautiful swimming pools and girls are so nice, we have better in Olam Haba. He could have brought him a pasuk. The boy, Lemimimimihai Kor, could have said to him from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, but note, Melachim Yikrutecha. Mitzvah Shegel Yimincha Beketem Ophir. That here we have, we talked about the Shegel as being a queen. I mean, yeah, this guy had prostitutes, the Gemara says, right? They were naked zonot. I mean, that's low class. You want high class people. I mean, you have a queen with you, you have princesses. I mean, he could have told them a pasuk. And Reb Nachum Yitzchak says, yeah, okay, but you could do them better. Because the Maisa, what, even if you would bring that pasuk, which we understand on our level, we would understand on his level. I mean, that Rav is never really telling him something that's really true that he can understand, and maybe things that are out of his concept, Bichlal. So you could tell somebody, you have a failure of imagination. So you're saying to you, there can't be anything better than this. So you can also bring out to a person that your own imagination limits what you think is good. So this is the maximum you can conceive of. In which case you could have told him the pasuk, Ayin lo ra'ata lo im zelatecha, ya'aseh lemechakelo, that only God can appreciate what could be in store for someone in Olam Haba. And that would be true then on both levels. Because, I mean, it's true for us, it's true for him. And you don't have to tell him things that are insulting to Olam Haba. When you say, our Olam Haba is better because we have the same swimming pools and the same girls, but we don't have to worry about the IRS. I mean, Now you're getting interested.
Of course
we don't. He's dancing him on his darga, and they still give out though.
You know, he's
saying that even with Shitatka, that there's this level of Hana'a. But you take your maximum level of Hana'a. Even your maximum level of Hana'a, you're not really enjoying yourself. Because you can't give yourself over to it completely.
He's just saying
that even with Shitatken, you see right now that you're not even enjoying yourself. So you're totally off balance. It's like not.
Then what's the pasuk? Then is it a false understanding
of the pasuk? Of course. The pasuk has two levels, is what it's saying. So at least the pasuk he can relate to.
Right.
But meanwhile, even with Shitato, I mean, forget about it, he thinks he doesn't have a most of the Malchus. But he doesn't even have the nicest girls. Then continues the Mishnah. Sicharu la'asot imo melacha acheret. So you hire, the guy hires a Jew to do one particular job, and now you ask him to go ahead and to drag over this barrel of Yayin Nesach. So the Mishnah says that it's mutter. Without saying any further conditions or considerations here, but that doesn't seem to hold out lahalacha based on the following bripe. I mean, are you saying Apagabdullah Amar Leili Itute Erev? Is this true? Even though he didn't mention anything about waiting until the night, meaning until the day was basically over, and then he told him. Now, I understand if the day is basically over, then he can add something and it really wouldn't have mattered to his sakhar because he's being paid for his day's work. So doing something at the end of the day doesn't really impact his salary. But the brisa says that it's only if you do it in that fashion. You tell him at the end of the day, because the brisa says, a goy who hires now a Jew to work with him with his, in his whatever he's doing, and towards the evening, when the day's work is basically done, he tells him, by the way, Haver Chavit Shayayin Nesach Mimakom Limakom. In that case, Charom Mutar. So there, it's Mutar. Now, clearly, it's not just a coincidence that the Brisa adds in the requirement for Litzut Teira. I mean, it's time of the Amalei Litzut Teira. It's only because the Brisa is talking about a case where he said it after putting in a full day's work, so it doesn't impact his salary. Then in. But Kula Yumai Lo. Had, however, it been a middle of the day, at any point, it would have been Aser. Because then it's part of his job. If the guy would have said, no, I'm not going to do it, they would have fired him, and he would have lost his salary. So how can you say the Mishnah doesn't? The Mishnah just says, doesn't matter. As long as it's just a barrel, what's the difference? Omer Abaye says, Abaye, well, there's no choice but to say that the Mishnah was also talking about Litzut Teira. Then the Braita is clarifying, don't think that the Mishnah means at any point at all that he said bring across the barrel. The Mishnah means Dafka Litzut Teira. Rava, now Rava's general approach, as we've seen many, many times, is a Mishnah means what it says, and whenever possible, you never change or add. It's got to make sense the way it says it. So Rava says Lokash. The Mishnah that says over here it's Mutter, it means it's Mutter at any point in the day. And that's not the problem. The solution is not to add an unmentioned condition. The solution is to recognize that the Braita and the Mishnah are talking about two completely different cases. Lokasha. Hadi Amarle, Haverli Me'ah Chaviyot, B'me'ah Putot. The case in which we have a problem is where he makes a deal on a job. The job is, you've got 100 barrels, you've got to move, you're going to be paid $100 for moving these barrels. One of those barrels is Yayin Nesach. There's a problem, because that means the job was working with Yayin Nesach. There's no distinction being made that it's a per-barrel job. If he would walk off the job and say, I don't deal with Yayin Nesach, they throw him off of the job. Whereas the case that we're talking about over here is it's talking about that he said, I'm going to pay you $1 per barrel, is what he said. In which case, there is no job. The job is each thing for itself. In which case, if you don't take that single dollar or you throw that dollar out, then there's not a problem in the job per se. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Hatanya, and indeed this is clear in the following bright, huh? Hasocheret hapoel. Yeah, in a case where you rent, you hire a poel, and it's for moving barrels. If you tell him, I'm going to pay $100 to move these 100 barrels, it turns out that one of them is Yayin Nesach. He's got a problem with all of his car. Because he's being paid for working with Yayin Nesach, not being paid on a per barrel basis. So he wouldn't have accepted the job. He would have said, I'm sorry, I'm only moving 99. So we'll get somebody else in the job. Thank you very much. Whereas if he tells him, Chavit, Chavit, Befruta, then it turns out, when he said, Chavit, Yayin Nesach, B'neim, in such a case, Sicharo Mutar. And that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah.
Is he done with one?
It doesn't matter. He just doesn't take the money for that barrel.
So
or he throws it out. Doesn't matter. He won't pay. He won't be paid for it.
He would have gotten the whole job unless he moved that.
Doesn't matter. He's not being paid for it. So it really doesn't matter. His car is not. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Moshe Baruch, I really understood it the first time. My mind is that guy. I don't need it four times. So it's a din in Sakhar. It's not a din in the surrounding question of whether it was gearing him to get a job. The point is that as it's arranged, the Sakhar is not being paid for these barrels in any way that includes those barrels. And that's what's important to us, because we made a takana here on Sakhar, not on moral issues. So maybe from a moral point of view, you'd be right, but that's not our issue.
And today's world, this is not for the smartest son, you know?
No, we're much more mako because of the, you know, it's only because of Chitun. Now remember that this question to the Chalabah, there's any Yisr Hanoah in societies in which there's no, that's the Rambam, the Shita of the Rambam, where he says all of the Gainim, and it's a big makhlokas, but Lamais were not Rambam.
similar to the concept of
you don't even have to come on. If anything, it's the opposite, because the Muvlat Atzer is the whole Shabbos, whereas over there it's the Matzah. So the next case that we had is that somebody rents a donkey, and the purpose of the rental was L'Havir L'Aviyayim Nesach, and the Jew who owned the donkey and rented it out, we're told of Yitzcharoa. So it seems to be very repetitious. Same thing as the Reish, except one is the guy and one is the donkey. I mean, so what do we need both cases for? A Sulamali. On a Reish, isn't that the same case? It is, but you're forgetting that there's that very interesting addition at the end of the Mishnah, which says, and that's what we need here, Sefet Srifalei. It says in the end of the Mishnah that if the guy rents the donkey in order to ride on it, and even though he puts down his canteen that has Yayin Nesach in the canteen, nonetheless the Zachar is Mutzer. So now the implication of that is that the original rental does not include the right to use it for Yayin Nesach. But is that true? I mean, are you telling me Lamema de Lagin Lab Dino Lutuvi? Telling me that when the guy rented the Chamor, that he did not include in the right of that rental to put his canteen or his barrel down on the Chamor of Yayin Nesach? And it says the fair is not like that. Ramini, it says a socher the Chamor, somebody who rents a Chamor, socher miniach aleha, kisuto leginato mezonotav shaloto aderach. The renter has the right to put on it his backpack with his clothing, his suitcases, and not only that, all of the drink and food that he requires for the entire journey. It's a 3-day journey. He could put down 3 days worth of food on it. The guy can't say, you're overloading my donkey. And the driver himself, the chamar, more than that, now, the driver could say, no, wait a second. You're going to wear my donkey out. More than that, you can't. You didn't tell me that you want to add another suitcase here. So that's like the Israeli taxi cab driver. Be another 5 shekel for the extra suitcase. This is clearly where it comes from. Now, on the other hand, the chamar has the right to carry along with him the saorim and the teven and the mezonotav shaloto hayom, whatever he needs, but just for that day, which is where the Israeli cab driver has the right to take his girlfriend along wherever he's taking him, right? Mikan ve'elech, socher ma'akev olav. And any more than that, the socher can say, you know, enough, I'm interested in moving along to the better cliff. I mean, it's ridiculous. Now later on, the Gemara is going to ask me, Mamadavshach, if there's food available locally, then, I mean, it should be both of them. We only have a day's worth. And if not, both of them need, I mean, what do we expect the driver to starve? I mean, so something's funny, but we'll talk about it in a minute. But in any event, we've got a problem, because clearly, and this is how it relates to the previous sugya very profoundly, clearly included in the rental fee was the right to put down the Yayin Nesach. And if that's the case, then the rental fee includes the Yayin Nesach. So why isn't it also? Amar Abaye, Nihi Delagin Dina Hulutuvi, it may include the right to put down the lug. But suppose the guy doesn't drink wine. So he says, well, I'd like a 10% deduction because I only buy Cokes along the way. The guy will say, what do you have? You're coming back in mind? Leave me alone. A drink up. I don't think it's going to make any difference to the price. Since it makes no difference to the price, it's not part of the Sakhar. Now again, you could say, the same time that Moshe Baruch had before. I mean, but if he would have said, you can't put your canteen down on me, he'll say, never mind, I'll go to Hertz. What do I need budget for? Right? Okay, I'll be king. But the point is, that's not what you're paying for. That's what a buy explains. So, Miu, Ilomot, if he doesn't put down his canteen, what's he going to say? Give me a deduction? By the way, what is the case? I mean, just as a, I mean, you brought it up, but I'm interested tangentially in it. What does it mean? Hechidami. I mean, either shchiyak lemiz ben chamar nami liyake. If lemaita, there are stores along the way. So why can't the driver say, look, you don't need 3 days of food to load up my donkey with, you know, between stops. And ilo shchiyak lemiz ben. And if there's no stores along the way, how can the socher tell the donkey driver, well, starve after the first day, you'll bring 1 day worth of food. And so it's so crazy. So, what's the case? Amr Papa says, look, Maybe truck stops along the way. Now, you're not going to go into the truck stop. This guy is used to going to the truck stop, dealing with the whole business, and he'll get himself food, but he can't expect the guy who's renting the car to go into the truck stop. And so, Mamela, it's talking about the Shriach Lamitra Kalamizva. You could stop Miuna Luyuna from one trip, and there's one lap to the next lap. You can. But the Hamar, the driver, Dark Elamitra Kalamizva, I mean, he's used to this kind of business. So, okay, so for him, you can expect him to go in and get his supplies for the day. But the Socher, he wants to be able to set up shop at night and put up his tent, go to sleep, and he's not used to running around to the truck stops picking up food. So he can dine, he wants enough to carry him over for the entire journey. Abu the Rav Acha Breda Ravika. Now, Rav Acha Breda Ravika's father had an interesting arrangement. He was a wine dealer. Now, normally, a wine dealer would sell the wine plus the containers. We saw this many times, that there was a separate price for the containers, and he would profit basically on both parts of the transaction. So what he did is he got some extra profit. And the way he did this is he ended up, as we'll see at the end, he had connections because of his position. His government position was that he was in charge of the tolls along the river. So he had very good connections with the local ferry drivers. And what he would do is he would arrange the trip for transporting the wine, and in exchange, they would give him back the barrels without taking back the money for the barrels. So what he had to do in order to make that possible is he would pour the wine out into their own leather containers, the skins, and then he would have the empty barrels, and they would give him the barrels in exchange for the trip. So he was Shafak Luchan Lodik. The first thing that he did is he would pour out from his barrel into their skins. And then he would go and be Mavileu Ma'abra. He would, now at this point we thought that it meant that he himself personally had a ferry in which he would ferry them over. In exchange for the transportation costs, he would Yavulei Gufi Ba'abra, they would give him the empty containers in his sakhar. So he ended up making the money twice, basically. Once when they paid him for it, when he sold the wine, and then they returned it. So he had the same ones when he was ready to sell again. So people went and squealed to Abaya about this because it did not look like a halakhically permissible arrangement because he was basically working with the IMF. So they went and they told Abaya, or someone like Abaya. So Abaya said to them, I understand what your objection is. Ki katarach be'etera katarach. I mean, he doesn't do anything with the INS, does he? I mean, in his barrels, it's kosher wine. And it only becomes unkosher after it already goes into the skins of the Akum. And it doesn't become us. I mean, he's being paid for the wine, isn't he? There's a problem over here. If there was actual wine in the skins, then there's a problem of mitzvah kibor, because why isn't the connection? So Tosfos raises all the, actually all the Rishonim talk about it. But I mean, it could be simply talking about that we have a case in which the skins are not used. They don't have any wine in it. There's no problem in mitzvah. The other comes also, once the goy takes it, basically what it would mean. Yeah, but then there's the container itself has in it the tam of yayin, which would answer that wine. So Shaila is, why is it mitzvah? And so, we had the machlokas before with the mitzvah kibur. The way the Rabbeinu Tam Paskins, the mitzvah is in the kibur, so there's no problem, and because Moshe is taking it for granted. This is one of his riots. The what? Right, the vats were never the goyim. Said, so whoever was complaining to Abaye said, well, what do you mean? That's only at the first, I mean, the first stage, you're right, he's selling him kosher wine. But afterwards, he is very much in favor of the survival of those skins, isn't he? Because if anything were to happen to them, let's say one of them springs a leak, so then what's going to happen is they're going to take his barrel. And they're going to use his barrel to save their wine, and they're certainly not going to be able to refund his barrel at the end of the trip, which is part of, you know, sort of an informal arrangement that they had. So, for all intents and purposes, he wants that Yayin Nesef to survive in order for him to be able to get his payment. So then he's a rotzeh b'kiyumo, delo nitzter ziki. He doesn't want anything to happen to those ziki. Now, that's not a problem. Maybe what he did was he was matne ba'adayu. I mean, it could be that he made a condition with them that it's not his responsibility that the wine gets there, but that, you know, they have to give him whatever it is that is the regular tip at the end. Or I mean, what he might do is might kapristiki ba'adayu. I mean, he might send plastic bags along or something. So in the event that there is a leak, then they can put into plastic bags and they could still give him back his wine, his barrels. Yeah, well, that's all very nice, but if he is the one who's transporting the wine, then that's a straightforward working with the Yaakov and the Goths, basically. I mean, he's getting scarred directly for working with the Ionesa. I don't understand how we're addressing that problem. So, he's working with the Ionesa literally. No, it doesn't mean he personally would bring them across the river. It means the Amarlo Lemiruye Mikora, he tells the ferry people, if such and such a person comes to you, you can do me a favor, take care of them. So they would do that for him because he was in a position of authority, nobody wanted to bother him. But it's not that there was any kind of direct involvement of him with the actual work. Or it could be it could be that he gave them a chit to show to the guy that they were carrying his stuff. Yeah. So then, in that sense, he wasn't really being paid for any work that he did for them anyway. So that's also not a problem.
Where are the barrels of wine?
The barrels of wine are with them until the deal is over. Then they send it back. They take the whole thing.
They're transporting.
Yeah, they're saying, look, you want to put it into the Ziki, that's fine, you know, but I paid for these barrels. I'm taking these barrels. If they finish and they get there in one piece, so then he lets the ferryman take the barrels back. Right, so now he doesn't want the Ziki to get broken. The Gemara's asking, because then they'll just use the barrels and they'll fill up. They're certainly not going to send back the barrel when they need the barrel for the wine. So he's wrote to Bikiyumo.
And they
can
move them
in
transport. So
they do
them.
There's nothing in them. There's nothing in them.
Just have them with empty barrels?
It's empty barrels, sure, that they paid for. That's why he poured them into the Ziki in advance. Because the barrels were given to him when the deal is over and they're transported. They're not going to pay him for barrels, leave the barrels there, and then come to the seashore with their chips and nobody does anything for them. Then what are they going to do? So this is a tip that they give them. If he uses his influence in their favor, on their behalf, and they end up being transported, then they tell the guy, you know what, he's such a nice guy, send him back these barrels. Okay, so he's a rotsa bikiyuma is the worst catch. Zakar Eilike Mishnah. Yayin netzev shenafal al gabei anavim. So speaking about transporting the yayin netzev, we have a case in which they're transporting them. So this yayin netzev falls over anavim that are on a cluster of grapes. You simply wash them off because there's no additional yayin inside the grain. However, they were open with cracks in them where they'd been pulled off the clusters, a little hole. Then they absorb the yayin esach, and then they would be awesome. Let's say the wine falls on top of figs or on top of rimon, on top of dates. Then if there's taste in them, then they're asur. Now there was a guy, and we have a lot of mice in the Mishnah with bitas benzuni. He was bringing these grogrot. Now grogrot are dried figs, and they are obviously full of cracks. And nonetheless, a barrel of wine broke in the boat, fell all over this stuff. And obviously they had the taste of wine in them. And nonetheless, he went and he asked the Chachamim, and they said there's not a problem. It's just a contradiction to the first part of the Mishnah. The rule being kol shebahana'ato benotin tam asur. Now this adds the word bahana'ato. If you are having benefit in the notin tam, it's asur. But kol she'ein bahana'ato benotin tam, it's mutar. So if there is a notin tam, but it's not bahana'ato, and it ends up making a taste that you would much prefer not being there, such as, for instance, let's say vinegar falls over your grisim, so it falls into your Cheerios. Vinegar oatmeal is not anybody's idea of a good cereal. So that's a nosim tam livgam, and that would be muta. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand, how does the maisa with bitus fit in the Mishnah? I mean, it's a maisa listor. Well, you're trying to bring me proof to what you just said, that if they were cracked, that they're usser, and then you bring the story of the grogrot, and you say that they're mutter. I mean, explain that to me. It says the Gemara Chisurim Achas, you're missing an important point of the Mishnah. Im no ten tam livgam hu mutar. That if, even if there was an absorption of taste, that taste was not beneficial, then it's mutter. Umaisa nami bebitas ben zunan. And the case that we bring in the Mishnah as a proof was the proof to this missing clause. Shaya may be grogrot v'sina v'nishtabrach habitra yayin esa v'nafaga v'yen v'bama se v'fei chachamim v'hitilum. Because it tastes horrific.
Isn't
it on the fig? What? On the dried fig? It makes them mushy. Apparently there are some things that we don't say asam v'reach and v'fakeach. Is that right? Ahu kare dechiti nafal alei chavita v'yayin nesach. We had a pile of chitim and a barrel of yayin nesach pours all over them, and Rava said it's no problem, sell it to a goy and let the guy use it, because he's certainly not going to be paying you more money for the taste of the wine in it. If anything, it's going to be worth less. So you're not benefiting in any way from the yayin esach in it. But Rabbi Balevai had another problem. He said to Rabbi, that's all very nice, you're not, but what's to prevent the guy from selling this back to a Jew? And then the Jew will be eating yayin esach without having any idea that it was usher. Don't we have a similar halacha when it comes to a beged that you know had shatnez in it? It was all about bok kilayim. It was some piece of kilayim now that got mixed in the beged. Now raise a loyim karenu lo oved kochavim. This is refarish. You must not sell it to an oved kochavim. And for that matter, v'lo yaseu mardat l'chamor, you can't even make it a mardat for a chamor, because again, it may end up in the hands of a Yisrael who may use it for sitting on or patching it or so on. Aval osel to tachrichin lemek mitzvah, you could, however, do something with it that would certainly never end up Yisrael using it. You could make a tachrichin. And then it doesn't mean necessarily make mitzvah. Some Yisrael don't even have that mitzvah. Because whatever goes on a mate is usher ba'ana'ah, so nobody's going to use it. And there's no isser in a dead person wearing kilayim, because we darshan b'metim chofshim. Kivan shemet adam na'aseh chofshim ben ha-mitzvot. The only question is, which Tosfos asks, how about loeg l'rash? Doesn't this sort of rub into the mate that you're not chayav in mitzvot, so we might as well use the kilayim for you? That's a pretty disgusting thing to do. So why isn't that the same as wearing tzitzit around the mate? So Kashi says that tzitzit are very special. We don't generally say it's not any mitzvot. It's a tzitzit which are remes to all of the mitzvot, kulam and so on. That's special. Now there's other approaches to this problem. But by the way, it involves another very important issue, which is the question of whether the mesim, when they are chayim, are they chayim in whatever they were buried in? Mm-hmm. So if you hold that, then the question are there, yeah, So then the question is, are mitzvot b'telot latid lavo, which is a different machlok, he certainly wouldn't be machshel, this poor guy, when a thousand years from then he finds himself suddenly wearing kalayim. That would be horrible. So, and it does says it may be going dafka going to man yom le mitzvot b'telot latid lavo. There's no chiddush of mitzvot in the tefillah d'amitzin. There's a lot of elements that are nageya. This the us and nageya, what we do today, the possible assistance.
And very
mitzvot tshuva is the dafka. Same issue. And that just brings the two together. In any event, so how could Rava allow selling it to a goy? Because there's going to be a problem there. I mean, we understand the part about the Beget Kelayim b'miuchad b'nogei ma'adad l'chamor. I mean, that person doesn't know, and he'll warm himself with the ma'adad l'chamor. But the part of selling to a goy is a problem here as well. So my time. I mean, what would be the problem, Lovit Kafavim, that you can't sell? My time. I mean, Lov, why can't you do it? Dilma Atib is winning Yisrael. Is it not because Rechoshesh that he's going to turn right around and sell this bag that had Kilayim in it? It looks like a regular bag, and nobody notices, and it would be Osir, it would be Makshel the Jew. So why can't we say the same thing about these Chitim? How's the Jew going to know? So Akinami Atib is winning Yisrael. So Rava actually is taken aback by that. This is a very good objection. But then Rav said, okay, you're right. But what we could do is we could see to it that he could grind it up, bake it, and then sell the loaves to a goy, not in front of any Jew, which means that every Jew would think that this is goyish bread. If it's goyish bread, he's not going to buy it because there were no ideas of patakun. So then there wouldn't be a problem with Jew buying it. So shor lemitchino ulamatfino. Now it says here in our Mishnah, now the Mishnah says very clearly the only problem that you have is if there was some kind of hole in the grape. So what was the problem here? The chitim. I mean, why would we assume that these three teams?
It's not just dates and figs, right? So we got the same thing. What's the difference between dates and figs and grapes?
It must be the skin.
Well, all right. So we're going to answer that. But chitim on the surface, they seem like pretty hard, sealed things. I mean, so what was the problem? Mevukaot im, shein mevukaot lo. Amrif Papa says, Rif Papa, a chita by definition, because it has that slit in it. That slit in the chita allows liquid in. So shayne chite oil the aget tzirayhu kimevuka odanyan. Because they have where the chita is closed, that piece actually allows in liquid, and it is if they are mevuka od. They start swelling.